We're about to hear our Old Testament reading. The lectionary over the last few weeks has been following the stories of the patriarchs in the book of Genesis. And this week we've reached the stage where Jacob, having fallen out with his brother Esau, quite badly, and Esau has a design to kill him if he gets hold of him, like older brothers do sometimes. And Jacob has run away from home. And this is the story that proceeds from there. Thank you.
So the reading comes from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 19, reading from the Message. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. He came to a certain place and camped for the night, since the sun had set. He took one of the stones there, set it under his head and lay down to sleep. And he dreamed. A stairway was set on the ground and it reached all the way to the sky. Angels of God were going up and going down on it. Then God was right before him, saying, "I am God, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. I'm giving the ground on which you are sleeping to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. They'll stretch from west to east and from north to south. All the families of the earth will bless themselves in you and your descendants. Yes, I'll stay with you. I'll protect you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this very ground. I'll stick with you until I've done everything I promised you." Jacob woke up from his sleep. He said, "God is in this place, truly, and I didn't even know it." He was terrified. He whispered in awe, "Incredible, wonderful, holy. This is God's house. This is the gate of heaven." Jacob was up first thing in the morning. He took the stone he had used for his pillow and stood it up as a memorial pillar and poured oil over it. He named the place Bethel, God's house. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading that we're hearing is not from the lectionary, for those of you who follow the lectionary, but it links with this passage that we heard from Genesis. And it's Jesus meeting Nathanael. We'll hear the reading. Thank you.
Our New Testament reading comes from John 1, verses 43 to 53, from the Message. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and when he got there, he ran across Philip and said, "Come, follow me." Philip's hometown was Bethsaida, the same as Andrew and Peter. Philip went and found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote of in the law, the one preached by the prophets. It's Jesus, Joseph's son. The one from Nazareth." Nathanael said, "Nazareth? You've got to be kidding." But Philip said, "Come and see for yourself." When Jesus saw him coming, he said, "There's a real Israelite, not a false bone in his body." Nathanael said, "Where did you get that idea? You don't know me." Jesus answered, "One day, long before Philip called you here, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You've become a believer simply because I say I saw you one day sitting under the fig tree. You haven't seen anything yet. Before this is over, you're going to see heaven open and God's angels descending to the Son of Man and ascending again."
I'm going to read somebody else's words. It's a reflection by Malcolm Guite, on this passage and linking it with the Old Testament. And it would be followed by a sonnet that he wrote. I'm a bit addicted to Malcolm Guy, you might understand. So these are his words, not mine. The gospel reading takes us to one of the most mysterious and beautiful moments in the New Testament. As the disciples begin to gather around Jesus, Philip finds Nathanael and says, "We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Nathanael's unpromising response is, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But Philip gives the best possible reply that anyone sharing the mystery of their faith can give. "Come and see." And that "come and see" was a theme of seeing and vision which culminates in the amazing exchange between Nathanael and Jesus that follows. Before Nathanael had uttered a word, Jesus says, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit," and turns the tables of vision onto Nathanael himself. And at that moment, Nathanael suddenly knows that he is completely known by this man he has never met. "Where did you come to know me?" he asks. And Jesus replies again about vision and seeing. "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Something amazing happens here. Nathan, who was scoffing at Nazareth a minute before, has a sudden leap of understanding, outpacing reason or teaching, leaping ahead of all the other disciples to an understanding and certainty that even Peter would not attain for another 3 years, and declares, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." An epiphany has taken place. Something whole and complete has been disclosed in a single glance. To see and be seen is enough. This is an example in the gospel of a sudden awakening, a direct pointing to reality, which some people think is only associated with Buddhism. But here it is. And then Jesus, alluding subtly to Nathanael's mention of Israel, promises that this is just the beginning of a greater epiphany. Nathanael is an Israelite indeed. And Jesus points to the key epiphany in the life of Israel when he was still called Jacob. If you remember, his name changed from Jacob to Israel. The epiphany in which he saw the ladder connecting heaven and earth. "Truly I say to you, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And here is one of those thrilling moments when a mysterious image from the Old Testament finds its fulfillment in the New. The ladder was a prophetic image given in a dream to Jacob of what is to come. And now it is true, has come true. "I am the ladder," Jesus is saying, "the true connection, the true gate of heaven." And in this intimate exchange, Nathanael has seen with his waking eyes what his ancestor had seen only veiled in dream and symbol. So Helen is going to read us the sonnet that links these two occasions.
Nathanael's epiphany. A fugitive, an exile, Jacob slept. A man of clay, his head upon a stone, and even in his sleep, his spirit wept. He lay down lonely and would wake alone. But in the night, he dreamt the heavens parted and glimpsed in glory, as from heaven's core, a ladder set for all the broken-hearted, and earth it herself becoming heaven's door. And when the nameless angel named him Israel, he kept this gift, whose depth he never knew. The promise of an end to all our exile. For now a child of Israel finds it true. and sees the one who heals the deep heart's aching, as Jacob's dream becomes Nathaniel's waking.
I suppose I've entitled this sermon, Encountering God, and the whole service is about how we encounter God. I believe a recent issue of the Good Soil material talked about thin places, or liminal places, where heaven and earth seem closer together. And I suppose in a sort of everyday example, a parallel experience is when the moon suddenly seems so much nearer to the earth. It's called a supermoon, or described to be at its perigee. I love that word. I drive along the headlands sometimes, which seems to be a direct, I don't know whether it is east-west, but very often as I'm driving along the headlands and it's a full moon, the moon is at the end of the road and I seem to be driving into it. It seems to occupy the entire sky as a glorious, luminous disc. It's at once glorious and scary. I think, is it coming too close? Spiritually, we may have the same experience. Our final hymn, which I don't think you'll know because the words are on the internet, they're new words apparently inspired by somebody at conference listening to a president speak a few years ago. Don't know which president, so don't think it was Alison. And it talks about we can't bear the full light of God's glory. We would be overwhelmed and maybe even destroyed, either physically or certainly psychologically. We cannot grasp what we are relating to. We're very matter of fact about our faith, aren't we? We chat to God in our prayers, and we speak of him or her quite casually. But this full disclosure of who God is, well, who can stand that? And yet, in a sense, Jesus is that full declaration of God and God's part in protecting us because he's a human being, as we are. He lived our life in difficult times of political unrest and upheaval, much as we do. And he said he knew the Father. For him, the full glory of God was part of his very identity. Yet we are not destroyed by knowing Jesus. We're nourished, changed, loved, and enabled to become more Christ-like. Is it as we enter glory at the end of our life that we will behold the fullness of God? Or will we still need protection? We don't know, but we can trust the love of God that he will keep us safe. These Old Testament stories about the patriarchs that we've been hearing about through the recent weeks show God dealing with flawed humanity. And first of all, Abraham, who was obedient, but even he passed his beloved wife off as his sister to protect himself. And then the dreadful tale of the near sacrifice of Isaac, which I personally see as blatant child abuse, and a child must have been damaged for life by the trauma, but that's my personal view of that story. And then Isaac has an arranged marriage to Rebecca, which turns out to be a love match. But they have twins, and boy, do they fight. And in the end, Jacob, twin two, cheats Isaac into giving him the blessing, which is meant that he inherited rather than Esau, who was the firstborn, the true heir. And when his mother finds out and overhears Esau sounding off about this, she tells Jacob, run away or your brother will kill you. And that's where we are today. A scared man on the run. He's also on a wife hunt, but that's the next story, I think. Weary and alone, frightened and very much in the wrong, he lays down to sleep with a rock as a pillow. I wondered if that's why he dreamt. I think I might have dreams if I put a rock as a pillow. And the place where he rests is thin, thin between heaven and earth. And he dreams, and a ladder joins the two places, and angels travel up and down. And God, not in all his glory to punish this cheat of a man, but in words of encouragement and promise, says, I'm the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and God of Isaac, and I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are lying, and your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread out to the west and the east and the north and the south, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. That's not the way to chastise a naughty young man, is it? But that's God for you. Listening to Jesus talking to Nathanael, it's as if this ladder is there all the time, but unknown to us. And Jesus is himself the ladder connecting us to heaven and our Heavenly Father. That's the purpose of his coming, to make that connection, reinforce the link, make it permanent. If I went round this congregation and asked you about your experiences of thin spaces or liminal places where you've sensed some of this wonder, I think many of you might understand, but others may be perplexed at the idea. But if that's you, there's still time for the Lord to break into your life in this way. Sometimes he breaks through for guidance or comfort or challenge or reassurance. Maybe just to show you that God really does love you and does care about your situation. I'm hearing that in Iran, where the gospel cannot be preached, some people are having this dream and meeting a man in their dreams that they do not know, and learning directly from God where they can turn in their faith journey and find Christ. Their sleep allowed God to break through directly to those seeking something other than the violence and hatred that surround them. For many people, it's in the Eucharist, in the communion service that we have. That is where Christ meets people intimately in bread and wine. And it's where the sense of the real presence of Jesus is experienced, a really liminal space where the things of earth are transformed for us. For me, I think I can touch thin places when I'm absorbed in some music which takes me to sublime heights, or in the open air, preferably up a mountain. Remember Sinai and the Mount of Transfiguration? A good place to sense the almighty power of God, and for that knowledge to touch the soul as well as the heart. These days for me, it's usually a hill with a view that manages it. I can't do the mountain bit. Remember, Jacob was not good. It's not dependent on our holiness or our religiosity or whatever you call our striving to be acceptable to God. No, this is the initiative of God, not man or woman. But we can be sensitive to this and be open to it, or just surprised by it. We've already sung, Lord, you sometimes speak in wonders or silence or whispers or scripture, but especially Jesus. And there's an old chorus that rings in my mind as I write this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full on his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Doesn't work all the time. It's not a... Can't expect the world and its troubles to vanish. We have to come back to reality and face life. But God's presence is there, and sometimes we glimpse it. And God has a habit of breaking into human life unexpectedly. Think of Jacob meeting God in his dream. That stone pillow sounds most uncomfortable. Think of Elijah hiding in terror in a cave and God calling him out for greater service. Think of that young girl, Mary, suddenly being visited by an angel and asked if she would agree to becoming an unmarried mother so God could be incarnate as a human being, as Jesus. Think of Saul of Tarsus being struck blind as Jesus encountered him on the road to Damascus. And he became Paul. Think of those strange experiences you've had, awake or asleep, alone or in a crowd, a church or even a shopping centre, somewhere beautiful or somewhere dreary. Those times where you felt you could reach out and touch something of another world. God encounters us in many ways. Keep listening, keep watching, keep praying. We need to seek his face and listen out for his voice. And the purpose for that is that we grow and learn, trust more, and are more able to serve this amazing God that we have. Amen.